podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Home hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. The shot is throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 60. We're obviously in the off season. We're obviously in a lockout. We actually thought we would do something different. The podcast has grown. It's modified. It's morphed and changed. And it's funny as we talk about sports and media. I will tell you that the pandemic, you know, for me at the lockdown, John Senecal and Brian Shackman here, we were at a phase, my wife and I, where the kids were at home and we were like, we couldn't wait to get to 4:30 to have a cocktail and just deal with being shut in with our kids all day. And I don't know how to, you know, to introduce it. So I would say when it comes to like substance use and abuse or alcoholism or alcohol or drugs, like I'm always wondering, you know, what degree is it a problem? I've never been a two beer at the end of my workday guy, you know, but I had a stretch, you know, where I don't know what's concerning or not. So I want to sort of lay the table for you of what we're going to talk about today, and then I'll start probing you question wise.
Well, I think if you say, you kind of said it yourself right there, Brian, if you kind of question it, I think that's the beginning of it, right? If you're sitting there and you're questioning, like, do I drink too much or do I do too much cocaine or whatever right. it is, or right. do I shop too much or do I buy too many shoes? There's probably a reason why you're saying that. So, yeah, what we're talking about directly involves me, because as of Sunday, it's 1 year of no drinking for me. I completely stopped for 1 year. So I'm on my 1 year anniversary, I guess. I don't know if I don't carry a coin or anything in my pocket or anything like that. Right. For me, it was just a lifestyle change, and I had to do it. Like, I mean, nobody told me to do it. Nobody.
There was no intervention. No moment. You didn't wake up on the couch.
Nope. I was never that drunk. I was never the wake up on the couch drunk. I wasn't that guy. I was the guy who got stuff done. And then, you know, when the alcohol caught up to you at like whatever 9, 10 o'clock at night, once the kids went to bed, you found your way to bed and you passed out or whatever. You know what I mean? You fell asleep. That was me. You know what I mean? It wasn't dad's drunk on the couch again. You know what I mean? Dad's slurring his words again. You know, dad's fighting with mom again.
So early January of 2021, you made a decision to stop drinking.
I made it before that. I went out with 2020 with a bang. I mean, My defining moment for me, I mean, I thought about it for a while, right? I tried it once. I tried it twice, actually. I tried it at the beginning of 2020, to be honest with you. And then, you know, what happens March of 2020? Everything gets locked down. What you open the show with. And then, you know, all the freaking wheels fall off.
Yeah.
Right? The wheels fall off. I mean, before that, you know, I mean, you know you got a problem before that, though.
Okay, like, well, hold on. How did you know you... So I'm going to take this sequentially, because we didn't pre-interview or talk about this at all. How did you know you had a problem?
I think it was just the self-questioning. You know, like, what am I doing? Like, why is it an everyday thing?
It was an everyday thing.
Okay. Every day. Like, why couldn't it be like, oh, we're at a wedding, or oh, we're meeting up with friends and I'm going to have a couple drinks, you know, like my wife drinks like four times a year, you know, like, why couldn't it be like that?
Right.
It doesn't need to be that degree. Like, why couldn't it be once a week?
Right.
No, it wasn't. It was like, you know, you start, like you said, 5 o'clock or whatever, like literally, like I would like.
And you'd look forward to it.
Look forward to it, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, for some reason, like, I don't know why that's like the trigger time, like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know, like, you know,
The end of the responsibilities of your day, though,
I guess. I don't know. But if you're not working during the pandemic or whatever, you know, like, it is what it is, right? Like, you find the time. You do it if you don't have any responsibility. You're not going anywhere. But to answer your question, I mean, it was probably a while ago. I mean, at least 2 or 3 years. But, I mean, then I have all these things. I have things in between, you know, that, like, trigger it back. You know what I mean? You stop for a little bit.
Right.
And then, like, on Super Bowl Sunday, 2019, I'm cooking wings on the grill.
And you're like, let's have a beer.
No, let's have a beer. And then I get a phone call and my dad dies, like, out of nowhere.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right? Like, totally healthy, totally fine, gone. Like, so what do you do? You know what I mean? Like, you got all this liquor sitting around. You're going to be drinking anyways. So you just drink and then you just keep drinking. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's a coping mechanism. I don't know. Like,
okay. So then you did it in fits and starts, and then you decided at the end of 2020, we're going to do this. And so you had your fun at the end of the year, and then you flipped the calendar into 2021 and you just stopped.
Yeah. So the end of 2020, I know I'm like, I go walk the dogs every morning. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that's my time to reflect.
Yeah, of course. I love that time.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it's quiet. You're sober. Like, you're not drinking. Your mind's totally clear. Somewhat, I guess. You know, if you're someone that can drink and get up in the morning, I guess your mind is clear as it possibly can be. Like, there wasn't a hungover for me, Brian. You know what I mean? Like,
it wasn't
I was
that bad.
No, like, right. I didn't get hungover. Like, I was so used to it. Like, I didn't feel hungover. Like, I could go and drink 8, 9 drinks and wake up the next morning and literally do my whole day, like, not bat an eyelash. And I'd be like, oh, my head's killing me. I can't get off the couch.
You were just bothered by the pattern.
And I know, like, if you keep going on that direction, like, what do you, like, where is it going to take you, right? So to get back to your question, like, I'm sitting, like, the aha moment for me, right, the main aha moment for me is winter break after Christmas of 2020. I'm with my son, he's a freshman in high school, and we're watching, believe it or not, the CeCe Sabathia documentary, Under the Grapefruit Tree.
Shocker.
Right? So we're watching. That's when it came out. Like, it came out, like, December 22nd. So I'm like, oh, you know, I'll watch it with you. Now, not knowing the full story behind him, right? Like, I read about it, but, like, you know, like, I didn't not kind of know what I'm getting into, right? So I'm sitting there watching this at, like, 7:30 at night, over break. Like, I think it was, like, December 30th. And he's telling his story. I'm sitting there with a drink in my hand, right? Like, 5 drinks in. My freshman in high school son sitting next to me, just me and him. And I'm watching this story of CeCe Sabathia writing a note in rehab to his son, and he's sitting there next to me, and, like, I'm drunk, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm messed up. And I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong with you, dude? Like, really, what's wrong with you? Like, you're watching a guy whose life fell apart, threw everything away, right? He's getting it back together, and you're sitting there like, who are you? Like, your life is falling apart, right? Like, you're slowly, like, wasting away. What are you going to do about it? Like, you've been talking about it. You've been thinking about it. You've been saying it. You've tried it before. Like, now you got to do it. You have to do it for yourself. You have to do it for your family. Like, I know it sounds cliche, dude. Like, you have to do it for your family. But, like, in the end of the day, not to sound cliche again, like, what else do you have?
All right. So listen, this is really important stuff, and I want to ask you a couple questions, and then I actually want to, you know, I'd like to inject my own perspective on this. But so when you did it, when you stopped, was it difficult?
Yeah, I would say for me, well, I went out with a bang. I went out with a bang. New
I got
Year's
it.
Eve,
I got
right?
It.
Like, I was like done, dude. Like, someone handed me a phone, was like, this is Cousin Jim from Houston. The first thing I said was Cheaters.
Yeah. So you
I just handed the phone. I'm like, Cheaters, and handed the phone.
You were lit up. I get
gone,
it.
Right?
I get
so
it.
I guess, you know, it was hard. Like, but what you got to do is you just get, like, the same thing you said to yourself on all those walks the day before, like, I'm not going to drink tonight. Like, you just got to do it. Like, that first day, I didn't do it. Like, I drove past a liquor store or package store, they call them in Connecticut, which are on every goddamn block.
Yeah, everywhere.
Like, you can't escape them, right? I drove by it. It's right down the end of my street. And I said, I just went right by it, right? And then the next day.
Did it again.
So
is it easy now?
I'll tell you, like, I think the first couple months, are hard because, you know, there's that. It's there. It's all around you. You know what I mean? Like, I listen to country music. That's all I talk about is drinking.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's everywhere. But at the same time, you know, you're kind of locked down, so you're not getting pulled eight different directions. You're not at all the social gatherings as much as you would be. So in a way, it kind of helps, but it kind of hurts too. So the first kind of year of the lockdown is a mess. And then the second year as you're coming out of it, you're still not able to be around a lot of people, which helps, but you know, you're getting back in the groove. But I would say once I got to like the 6 month mark, I was like, I'm not kidding myself anymore.
Do you still think about?
Dude, I dream about it.
Yeah.
I have had dreams, and I am not joking when I say this. I have had dreams where I've woke up. They were so vivid that I was sweating and I was nervous that I got drunk in real life. That I failed myself. You know what I mean? Like this was like just like a month and a half ago.
Well, you don't want to set yourself up if you ever drink again that it's a failure.
No.
Because it's not.
No. But it's like, for me, it was like, it was so real.
Right.
It was like, I literally woke up and I'm like, dude, you're 8 months into this and you like, your goal is to make it to a year, right? Like everybody has goals. Like I made it to a year. That's amazing, right? People say 6 months, a year, whatever. Like a year is like the benchmark, I guess, right? And I'd have a dream at like 9 months where I literally thought, like, it happened. And I wake up, I'm like, dude, you just threw it all away. And you drank wine. What is wrong with you?
You don't even like that.
I don't even like it. I don't even like it.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 60. So you talk about cliches. I mean, do you have more energy? Are you more productive? Like, is it just the symbolic element? Is your life demonstrably changed because of it?
I would say yes, more energy. I mean, my body definitely feels better. I mean, I was at the point where, I mean, like my stomach would hurt constantly. I don't know if it was my liver telling me to give up or like, I don't know what it was. I mean, like I would be nervous. I was going to go get my blood work at my 1 year and they're going to be like, dude, you're a mess. Like there's something like you need, you got a Mickey Mantle liver or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't have that. Like I could feel like my feet were getting sore. Like I guess gout, like the onset of gout or something. You know, but I'm an active person. I'm not a dude that sits around. No. But like my body was changing, dude. I could tell. I could definitely tell it was not for the best. And I definitely don't have any of that now. I sleep better. I don't wake up as much at night.
Did you ever tell your wife why or anything like that?
You know, it's interesting. Like, you know, we're not like a huge sharing family. Like, I've been with my wife a long time since I was a junior in high school. I mean, we know each other. We can finish each other's sentences, you know, but she honestly didn't even think I had a problem. I mean, she told me that
flat
out.
Maybe you didn't, or maybe you did.
I think once we talked about it, and yeah, I did. But I think, you know, it was, she works a lot, dude. Even working from home, she works a lot. And at the time, she wasn't working from home. She was at, you know, her job.
Work, yeah.
You know, and if I'm home during the day or whatever. Plus, you know, drinking rum and Cokes or whatever, that's easy to hide, dude. You know, it's not a hard thing to hide. It really isn't. You know, you're drinking a soda or whatever.
You know, plus, you can sneak your refills and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
you know, I would have a bottle. If I went down to the basement, I could fill up with a bottle. And I got to the point where I was like, I can't buy bottles of this stuff anymore.
Right. Because
it's like you're drinking too much. So I go out and buy the nippers. And then you got to figure out a way. Like, you're not buying a big bottle at Costco. So now you got to pay for it, right?
Right.
So you don't want to go to the same package store every freaking day because then you look like an alcoholic,
right? And then you don't want your wife to see the recycling or whatever,
right?
So, you know, and I first of all, I think it's very courageous of you to share it. I think it's, I didn't know this, you know, and
I don't think anybody knew it, Brian.
Yeah,
nobody knew it. I didn't listen. I think I said twice to people, like over the course of this, like I'd be at a social setting and they'd be like, oh, you want something to drink? Where I couldn't like hide it. You know what I mean? I went to a wedding. I could hide it, right? I've been at a few things where I would bring those koozie things or whatever.
Right.
And I drink the Athletic Brewing, which is honestly, dude, one of the best beers on the planet. For someone that's drank enough goddamn beer in his life.
It's good.
Athletic Brewing, non-alcoholic, those dudes have got it figured out. And it's from Connecticut. But you know, you could hide it, you know, and it's not.
But there's been moments where people are like, come on, Johnny, look, come on, have one.
Yeah, so they say, you know, and I'm like, no. I'm like, I stopped drinking. They'd be like, well, why'd you stop drinking? And I kind of, sometimes I brush it off. And then one time I came right out and I'd be like, honestly, dude, I had to. I think that's exactly what I said. I had to. And the conversation just stopped. But no, and for like the grand scheme of things, you know, you get a, you know, you get so many offers. You know what I mean? Oh, let's go. You know, we'll grab a beer.
Right. Your social life as an adult male revolves around it.
It's just how it is, and that's not something like that's wrong, right? It's not a bad thing. Well, it's not a bad thing at all.
I can't help being a little self-centered here and be like, okay, well, the way you analyze yourself, what is that? How does that translate for me? And like
What I'm saying has nothing. I'm not here to like.
Experience. I know, but I can't help but think about myself. Okay. So,
but that's also good because that's why I'm doing it. Like, I was on the fence about this for a long time. Like, I'm not a very open person. You know what I mean? Like, this is like as open as I get doing this show. And usually we talk about baseball, right?
Right.
I haven't talked about any of this with anybody. This is the most open I've gotten. I haven't talked to my wife like this. It's like a brief thing. It's almost like you don't talk to your pitcher during a no hitter.
Right.
You know, like things are going well. Like, I think like, what was it? Like on Monday or whatever, she said to me, she's like, you know what? I'm really proud of you. And that meant the world to me. You know what I mean? That was like, that meant more than anything. You know what I mean?
You're obviously going to continue, but I also want to set it up because it's not like, you had lost, you know, your family or your bank account or your ability to work. And so I just want to make sure you know that if you do have a drink, it's not like falling off the wagon. It's not some crazy like Barney and the Simpsons type thing. So,
I think there's all sorts of different levels of
there
people
are gradations
that have.
Of it. Yeah, I mean,
everyone's a Frank Gallagher.
Right.
You know?
But for me, like, I don't drink every day.
I think that was most of it, honestly.
But I look forward to it, and I look forward to catching a buzz. So, you know, and the days where I can moderate, I'm proud of myself for being able to moderate, you know? So, I mean, I just wonder, and whether it's the age or the pandemic or the monotonous elements of married and family life, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think these are questions that a lot of people deal with that don't take that action. And I've talked to a lot of celebrities and, you know, even like I listened to this whole Howard Stern interview with Ben Affleck where a lot of these guys hit middle age and they just simply stop drinking and their lives open up. And it seems to be a really positive thing. And so I think that when I listen to your story, I'm wondering maybe that's something I should do. And I think people listening will reevaluate where they are. And if they don't do what you do, maybe modify behavior. I mean, for me, it's important to be able to say, you know what? I haven't had a drink in 7 days or 6 days or 5 days. But then it's also an issue if I'm actually thinking about that.
Right.
So that's what I'm taking away from it. Just the fact that I look forward to a Friday or look forward to a wedding because of that.
Right.
That actually is an indication that maybe you think about it too much.
Yeah.
And that could be an issue. So I think you raise a ton of things that are just provocative for people to think about. And obviously I'm grateful for your friendship and to share this stuff with.
It's interesting. You asked me and I totally blanked out and you talked about, you know, what did you do? Like, was there like a thing, you know, I didn't carry a coin or anything like that. And it was, you know, I think as corny as it sounds, I think like, collecting baseball cards helped. Like it was something that like my kids got into. They were always kind of into it.
Right.
But when this pandemic thing hit and everyone kind of got into it, they got into it more. And it was almost like my youth came back or something. You know, like I had that connection with my father, right? And
or it was a high that you got, and I hate to say high, but it was a positive sort of endorphin thing that you got from something other than
whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along that lines, I don't know. Like, you know, maybe, you know, some people, well, they find an outlet, they go running or they take up fishing or they take up painting. I don't know. I think maybe, you know, that maybe to, not maybe, I think that was one of the biggest things for me was that. And, you know, it brought me like closer to my kids, you know, gave us yet another thing to kind of connect with other than sports and just general life. And I think in a way it kind of just, you know, it filled a void for me that not for like losing my father, you know, like that's not easy, dude, for anybody. You know, like you're supposed to lose your parents when they're 90 years old or 80 years old. And, you know, you get to watch them waste away like you hopefully you do, you know. Yeah, and then like, you know, I actually rewarded myself. I told myself, you go reward buy. Like, I like Derek Jeter, right? Mattingly's my favorite player, but I bought a Derek Jeter card every month for when I was sober or not drinking. And then I waited. I didn't want to kid myself, so I waited till I was 6 months in.
So you got six new cards?
Well, I got 12 because I had to back it up.
You retro pay?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I don't know. I just was sitting down one day and I was like, he started in 92 baseball cards. He went to 2015. That's 24 cards. And I was like, all right, well, that's 2 years if I did one every month. And I was like, well, let's start small and try, you know. And I didn't want to buy one and then it'd be like a month in, start drinking again. Right. And it'd be like, all right, now I got this card. So, like I said.
So you're trying to get a card from each year?
One of each is a year.
If you're able to find them?
Oh, yeah. Dude, you can find anything on eBay. Right. You kidding me?
In closing, you know, I think the one thing I want to point out to people, and he's John Senecal, I'm Brian Shackman, this is episode 60 of Fanbase, is that I think actually what makes it more admirable is funny because people would listen and think it's easier, but I think actually it's harder to nip something at the bud than it is to pick yourself up off the floor. By that I mean, like, you didn't hit a rock bottom. You didn't lose a job or your spouse or your kids, you know, but you just recognized it mid-flow, and so you were ahead of the curve. And I think that that's harder because 99% of the people in your life would say, there's no problem there. And so to recognize it and then to change behavior, I think it's more difficult in some ways than hitting. Once you hit bottom, there's nowhere to go.
Right, you kind of have to. But I mean, maybe, you know, I think that might eventually, you know, at some point, somebody's going to say something, right?
No, and I get it.
Or I'm going to get a DUI or something. Yes. Something's going to happen.
100%. But that's the point, is that you found a way to avoid that moment.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a, you know, I never even looked at it that way. And I'm glad you brought that up. It actually makes me feel a little bit better about myself.
No,
too.
I think you should. I think you absolutely should. And I honestly, like, I'm a little bit at a loss for words because this brings me to a point of self-analysis. So I thank you for it, and I'm sure people listening do as well. So any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could talk some baseball. These guys got to get their acts together, man.
Yeah, we talked to Sam Kennedy on the we can actually bring up those sound bites in episode 61. I talked to Sam Kennedy on my morning show on WTSC News Talk 1080, and he won't even talk about the issues because they're not allowed
it's
to.
It's so touchy. You know,
they're not even talking to each other.
And then they got rid of Ken Rosenthal, and everyone's pissed off about that, MLB Network.
Well, I would be mad, too. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about that maybe next week, because I don't want to mix up what we're talking about now, or maybe we'll do a 61 in a shorter amount of time. Because as a journalist, I think it's an absolute joke that you're not allowed to criticize. And if Rob Manfred is that thin-skinned, then he has none of my support.
Hey, what do you say? When you own the information, you can bend it all you want, John Mayer?
Right. 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 Well said. John, thank you. I'm Brian Shackman. He's John Senecal. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.